Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We did a lot of Mets yesterday, and thinking about the Yankees, and it does tie into the Mets a little bit with Cody Bellinger, but thinking about the Yankees after Brian Cashman spoke yesterday, I don't think the Yankees can have a good offseason if it doesn't include bringing Cody Bellinger back. We went over this last year with Juan Soto, and we know what the Yankees did with Plan B and all that. I don't know how you can make a case for the Yankees to make their team better, which is what they need to do, because progressively they've gotten worse, going from World Series to Division Series. Got to get better and close the gap. I don't know if they could get better without Cody Bellinger.
You know what's funny? First of all, I don't really disagree, and I think it really applies to the Mets as well. Now, we did the Mets stuff yesterday. I think Bellinger is a guy who would make the Mets so much better, and then obviously if he left the Yankees, it would make the Yankees so much more vulnerable. But when you contrast, at least so far, and maybe it's going to change, and a lot of this is around Pete, I get that, but like there's a lot of juice and anticipation and energy for the Mets offseason. I'm not feeling it for the Yankees. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't wind up being really good. See, I think what it comes down to for Bellinger, and I do think he's going to stay, right? And I think he's got to be target number one. You could get to some other stuff, and we'll get to it as well. You lose Bellinger, a lot changes, because then maybe Grisham becomes more important. Now you rely on a Dominguez-Jones combination. Who knows if they're going to be ready? But I am not worried, and I don't know where you stand on this, but I'm not really worried about overpaying for Bellinger. I'm going to tell you why. Now, there's certain players that I am worried about that with. I look at Bellinger, and I see a guy who, even when he goes 0-for-4, can help the Yankees win a game. He can make a play in left, can make a play in center, can make a play in right, can make a play in first, can make a play on the bases, and for the most part, is going to put the bat on the ball to at least, you know, maybe scratch out a run the non-conventional way. So I don't know if it's going to go to 6 years. I don't know if it's going to go to 7. I don't know if it's going to 180 or 190. Wherever it goes, Yanks have to pay it. That's it.
Right, and that's kind of the point. And furthermore, there was an excuse last year to lose Juan Soto because Soto clearly wanted to take the most money. I don't believe, now I don't know this, I'm sure Bellinger wants to get paid and he's going to go with the best offer, but a combination of things. Juan Soto wanted the most money. He went left for the Mets, didn't care who was going to give it to him. He just wanted to take that. I believe Bellinger wants to be back. And if that's the case, I don't want to see the Yankees try to draw a line and be like, well, we value you here, but we're not going to get reckless. Now, when you do that, you run the risk of having a DJ LeMahieu-type contract, and you just have to live with it. But he's going into age 30 season. Forget about year 6 or year 7 if you get to that point. You're worried about year 1 through 3. Yankees, I know they always have a championship window, but we're talking about right now, maximizing what they have with Aaron Judge and what they have in place with Gerrit Cole and Fried and, you know, some of the young pitching, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to win a World Series now. You're the New York Yankees. You got a player who thrived here last year, extremely versatile, good in the lineup with Judge, just a perfect fit. I think wants to be a Yankee. Just get the deal done. Whatever the market value is, if you have to exceed it by a little bit, fair enough. Just get the deal done. You're the New York Yankees. There should be no excuse. Last year they had an out with Soto. There is no out with Bellinger.
Well, I agree. And what I'd like to see the Yankees do, I mean, stop waiting around. And I know it just started, so I'm not getting on them. But I don't want to see this thing drag out into, you know, early December and other teams are setting the market on Bellinger. How about the Yankees come out and they say, hey, we want you. Here's a number. It's a healthy number in terms of AAV and length of contract. Let's get it done. Don't sit around waiting for these other teams to do. Don't wait for the Mets. Don't wait for the Dodgers. Don't wait for whomever to jump back in. Like,
especially if he wants to be here.
Yeah, and that seems to be the I mean, it just looked like a natural fit last year, and his dad played here. So there's evidence that, or reasons you would think he would want to stay. I don't like, dude, you're the Yankees. You're going to let $3 million more a year, an extra year. Like, what are we talking? We're talking nothing.
See, there's a difference in this. You could bring the Mets into the conversation here as well, and I've been thinking the same thing in regards to Pete Alonso. There's a difference between being reckless and just being aggressive here early on. The Mets did this a couple years ago with Diaz. He didn't want to go anywhere else. They wanted him back. Before he even hit the market, they got it done. Boom. 5 years, $100 million deal. And you could say that you want a player. The Yankees could say that they want Bellinger. Okay, well, if you want Bellinger, talk to him now. Forget what the market is. What are you worried about? You have a rough idea of what the market's going to be. Just give him your best offer. The fear is that, and maybe it's more so with the Mets because they're the Mets and not the Yankees, that they're being used. And you don't want to set the market. And then if the Mets, hypothetically, if the Mets offer Pete Alonso 6 years, $180 million, which I said I would do, now Boris and Pete have that and they say, well, bare minimum, we're getting six 180.
Yeah.
And can go shop that.
Yep.
That's why I say it has to come with the caveat of, here's the offer. This offer stands for a week. You got a week to go do whatever, like, or whatever it may be, whatever time frame you want to
put it out. We're not here to be used. Yeah.
It can't just be, you're going to come back to us and we're going up. No, this is it. This is it. You want us to go up maybe to $200 million because what's an extra? But at some point, you got to draw the line. I would just go with my best offer right out of the gate, and I think the Yankees should be doing that with Bellinger, and I would think it would be a lot easier with Bellinger because I truly believe he wants to remain a New York Yankee. I don't know that. I'm just getting that feel, and if that's the case, to your point, why wait for the market to develop? Just go get him now.
Well, and this is the time to do it. Now, the Yankees have a lot of young players, none of whom have distinguished themselves to the point where you're like, no doubt. Except maybe Ben Rice is a hitter. Listen, I like Wells, but there's a lot of room to go. I mean, Volpe obviously was a mess last year. Dominguez is making peanuts, but who really knows what he is? Obviously, if Jones makes a team, he's making peanuts. Like, outside of Aaron Judge and Fried and Gerrit Cole, where's the big money? You know, Jazz isn't making a ton of money. McMahon's, what, $15 million? And what other players are the Yankees really attached to? Now, I'm sure they'll talk to Tucker, and if they lost Bellinger, I'm sure they, or I would think that they might aggressively pivot there.
But would that be good enough for you?
Well, you know, it's funny.
Paint the scenario.
He's not a center fielder. That's the problem.
Well, okay, that's the point. So paint the scenario where the Yankees can be better off without Cody Bellinger.
Okay. I don't feel it, but I'll try to paint one.
Yeah.
I don't think that they would be. Let's say that Spencer Jones is the real deal, and he's more of a center fielder than Dominguez, which it seems like they think that he is. If he was in center, you let Grisham go, or Grisham goes himself, and you get Tucker for left, and you've got Judge in right. I'm still not sold on first base though. So
But you could go get a first baseman. It would include Tucker.
Yeah.
So all right. Well, further it then. I'll ask you the question: could they, if they don't get Bellinger, do they have to then get Tucker?
I don't think that they have to. But now it's going to be very hard to look at that lineup and say, oh yeah, they've improved from the lineup a year ago. Unless you expect McMahon to get much better, I don't. Unless you expect Volpe to get much better, I don't. Unless you expect Jazz to get much better, that was good, you know, April through October or September. He's not going to get much better. I think Ben Rice will get better, and I think that's probably it.
But
Bellinger and you don't get a Tucker or a Bregman, and they're not getting Bregman because they got a third baseman, and McMahon's got a couple of years to go.
See, I think that would be a mistake just to say, well, we got McMahon and lock him in a third and not go after Bregman.
Oh, don't get me wrong. If I'm the Yankees at this point, I would say, yeah, you know what? Bregman was okay, but we're going to move on here. So, but they're not going to do that. So I've got to work within the realm of their new reality, which is obviously aggressive and fairly bold, but not over the top. So there's no way the Yankees, let me not say no way, unless they're able to trade McMahon and eat some of the money. Right. I guess there's always a way to do this. Bottom line is this. If the Yankees whiff on Bellinger, their offseason goes from, it becomes very unclear, and it becomes very worrisome for me. Like, they got to get him.
Yeah, I know, but they lost Juan Soto and recovered. So the counter to that would be if you lose Juan Soto and recover, you should be able to lose Cody Bellinger and recover.
Did they recover? Did they get to the World Series last year? Did they look like a better team than Toronto?
No.
I don't know that they recovered.
I never believed in Plan B myself because I just don't believe in letting the best players go. But when you look at the fit, where was Juan Soto going to play along with Aaron Judge? Bellinger clearly was a better fit because you could use him in multiple places. I was even saying this yesterday on SNY. Bellinger is arguably a better fit for the Mets. They needed Soto because of the star power. Bellinger makes them a better team because you could play him in center. You could play him in left, give Nimmo some rest. You could play him at first, give Alonso some rest at DH. It's just the perfect piece. The Mets have three areas where they need to upgrade defensively. Center field, first base, and left field. Cody Bellinger is a plus defensive player at all three of those positions. So he would be perfect for them as he is perfect for the Yankees. They need to bring him back. I think he wants to be back. There's just got to be an alternative. If not, and by the way, even if they do bring him back, okay, then what? Is that enough? You're not bringing him back and bringing in Kyle Tucker. Are you relying again on Dominguez or Spencer Jones? Volpe situation. Mm-hmm. McMahon, you mentioned him. Ben Rice at first base. If the Yankees don't bring back Bellinger, they have some issues and got a lot of work to do. If they do bring back Bellinger,
they shouldn't be done.
Well, okay, so then what's next for the Yankees outside of Bellinger?
Yeah, I would love to see Schwarber. You can't do it. Stanton's he's clogging up the DH, which is part of the reason why the Yankees have had roster construction issues. I think when you look at this, and you touched on this to start, like whether it's Fried, Schlittler, now maybe Schlittler in a year or so goes in a deal for Skeens, but right now, Fried, Schlittler, eventually Cole, Rodon's going to miss the first month, eventually Schmidt,
it should
and
be
Hill.
It should be set, though.
Their pitching should be locked and loaded. So to me, you know, the emphasis should be on defense, but they need some more sticks.
Cashman mentioned it yesterday. Good to have a closer. You know, they have a Bednar set in place. You don't have to worry about that on the market.
He was good.
The bullpens I wouldn't worry about. You could build them in season. Usually Yankees figure out a way to do that, whether it's before the year with some under-the-radar type signings or in season. Cashman has done a good job at that. I just, again, look at the infrastructure, the construction of this roster. And you need to change some things up. I would be open to moving Jazz. I would be open to moving Giancarlo Stanton. I think those type things. Kwan, to me, is the perfect fit. So I'd go all in to get him if he is, in fact, available. Now, doing that, you're going to have to give up. You would think either Spencer Jones or Dominguez, maybe some young pitching, not named Cam Schlittler. But now you do that. And if you could bring back Bellinger, now that could be enough right there. Big moves. Kwan, look at the lineup with Kwan in it.
Yep.
A true leadoff hitter. Mm-hmm. And you have Bellinger in the same spot he was. Your outfield is set.
Yeah.
Grisham at that point would be a luxury if he comes back.
There's things to do. You know, it's funny. I think both the Yanks and the Mets need to make bold trades. We always focus on this about the pursuit of the big ticket free agents, which we get. It's fun and it's hot stove. But I think, and I said this before, I think the Mets get Schoolable. Now, I don't know if I'm as confident about the Yankees getting Kwan, but that's a trade that opens everything up for him.
You know, even with Bellinger back, they don't have a leadoff hitter.
I know.
Which would be a priority for me. Go out there and get a leadoff hitter. That's why I say Kwan is the best one. You want to talk about Arise. We mentioned him yesterday. I mean, that would be another guy that would maybe set the table for the Yankees' power that follows behind him. Yankees a lot last year, BT, relied on the young guys. We went over it before the year, and almost none of them. Wells did not do what he was supposed to do. Volpe, nowhere near what he was supposed to do. Dominguez, nowhere near what he was supposed to do. Ben Rice, the only one who kind of popped there, and clearly there are limitations to his game where he doesn't have a position. First base or catcher, they like him there, but he's not clearly not a first baseman. I don't think he's a good catcher, so he's a DH, which leads to the conversation that they have 15 different DHs.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to change some things up, so maybe it's not just about who they're adding, also about what they're subtracting or trading away to clean up some of the mess.
Boy, we've been saying for years, move on from Stanton. We know he's got the no trade. You don't have to tweet us. We know that. But how do you not approach him at this point? Like, if you're the Yankees, how do you not approach Stanton and say, hey, listen, here's where we are. Here's where you are.
Yeah.
If we can find a move, would you be okay with it? Like, you've got to have that conversation.
Yeah, I don't know what the Yankees are thinking. Cashman did say yesterday, alluding to the fact that Ben Rice could be their first baseman.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Rice, everyday first baseman, or at least majority first baseman.
I think he could become a functional first baseman. Not much more than that. He looked pretty bad on those throws. You know, he would get on Pete, but at least Pete scoops him.
Also,
Rice didn't scoop any.
Maybe this is the best case scenario. You trade for Kwan.
Yeah.
You could have Bellinger in center, or Grisham accepts the offer.
Uh-huh.
He could play some center. Bellinger at first, DH a little bit, catch a little bit.
Yeah.
That gives you some, but that includes trading for Kwan and signing Bellinger. Maybe if they did those two moves, you'd be okay with that as far as the lineup goes. Either way, moves to be made, I think Bellinger is a big key. The same way I would say it for the Mets offseason, but I don't think it's realistic.
Yep.
Yankees cannot let Bellinger. There should not be an excuse. Last year they had an excuse with Soto. No excuse letting Bellinger go this time.
See, I don't know if, I remember saying this yesterday a few times here, I don't think the Mets are going to have a middle-of-the-road offseason. I think it's either really good or it's really lackluster. And I'm trying to see if I feel the same way about the Yankees. I think I've focused less on them in my mind because there's fewer options. And maybe I'm just under these, and maybe this is my fault, I'm just under the assumption Bellinger's not going.
Right.
But again, you know, if I'm going to be fair to the discussion, if they were to lose Bellinger and they don't do some other stuff, it goes to a bad offseason. Now, it doesn't mean you'll be a bad team because of the pitching, but, you know, the next month or so, Yankees need to have some good moments here. There's no doubt about it.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joey Clam starts us off in Brooklyn. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Joe.
The Rosado brothers, they're taking hostages. Hey, listen. The Yankees, Sally Boy, how you doing, BT?
Joe.
The Yankees got to fix the 5-6 hole, which they haven't fixed in years. They're batting 200 on those spots. And when you play first base, always expect a bad throw. Ben Rice has a frying pan glove. How are we fixing the 5-6 hole? Hal, where are you? Step up to the plate, Hal. You know what I mean? You got to step up. We're not asking you to be your father, but act like a Steinbrenner.
Well, why are you worried about the 5-6 spot when you should be worried about the leadoff spot?
No, 5-6 holes.
Defense.
Third base is shortstop. Shortstop is a stiff. You're batting 200 from your third baseman and your shortstop. You can't have championship baseball with garbage shortstop at third base batting 200.
Well, Joe, think about this, Joe.
Stop with the sunny dudes and the sunny sides. BT, where's your Uncle John and Uncle Pat? Brennan's Bar, every you. A Jack and a Heineken.
Joey is out of his mind in a good way.
Start the show, yeah.
So, okay, we all know 2009, and I get it. We might not ever in our lifetime see a better Yankee infield than Teixeira, Cano, Jeter, and A-Rod around the horn. I mean, really, as good as it gets, right? And he throw in some other players, but that's phenomenal. Does this sound like a championship infield? Rice, Grisham, Volpe, McMahon. The answer is no.
You're talking about infield? You said Rice, Grisham.
Not Grisham, I'm sorry. Jazz, thank you, obviously. Rice and Jazz and Volpe or even Caballero and McMahon. Listen to that drop-off. Now, the 09 Yankees, well, I was going to say they didn't quite have the pitching of this crew, but they actually did with CeCe and with Burnett.
Why can't it be, if they don't need to go spend on pitching and they don't, why can't it be bring Bellinger back, trade for Kwan, and bring in Bregman? Well, that's too much to ask. It's the Yankees.
Yeah, they're not doing that. I don't have the answer. I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it.
Are you trying to close the gap on the Dodgers or no?
But where's the evidence that they would do that? That's the problem.
Well, Cashman said yesterday, you know, money is not should not be the
issue. Let's see it.
Well, then figure out how to build a better ball club instead of relying on all these young guys
who
strike out a ton and hit 200. Well, Bregman's out there. Go get him. And I'm not saying be reckless. Think about the offseason they had last year after they lost Juan Soto. Bringing Bellinger back is not doing much. You're just bringing him back. Okay, well, now how are you getting better? Trading for Kwan is not going to cost you a lot. Give up one of the useless pieces, whether it's Dominguez or Spencer Jones, and they are useless as it pertains to today's Yankee ball club. You can talk about the potential and the future. I'm tired of it. Well, you got to go out there and win now. And what about third base? Why settle for Ryan McMahon? Because it's a good glove. You could have a good glove and a good bat and a proven winner in Alex Bregman. Go get it. I don't think that's being ridiculous. I wanted Bregman last offseason. This offseason, what are we doing here? Are you trying to build a World Series team or not?
I think that there's certain offseasons where what's presented by Yankee fans is just, it's wacky world. Like, it's unrealistic. What you just presented should not be unrealistic. It shouldn't be. Now, the problem here is, and this doesn't solve anything yet until he either, you know, proves his critics wrong or Yankees move on. If Volpe was what they thought he would be, you could get away with McMahon at third base.
Yeah, right.
You know, if Volpe was hitting, if first of all, Volpe was the leadoff hitter, if he was, even if he was 260, you know, at an on base of that 34%, 35, rather than 280, 290, which is just utterly unacceptable, it just creates, and that's why Joey says the 5 and the 6 hole, it's a problem. It's a big problem. And listen, I think the notion of, well, you bring back Bellinger and all is right. No, you bring back Bellinger, you are what you were last year.
Right.
That's a starting point.
Right, and the point is they can't go backwards again. They needed to bring back Soto and build on top of that. Again, different circumstance. This year, bring back Bellinger and then build on top of it. But either way, I don't know how you can make a great case. You know, the Yankees are always aggressive. We know that. I don't know how you can make a great case that they would be. Cashman said it himself yesterday. He said, quote, we would be better suited with bringing him back. Good, then bring him back and there shouldn't even be a discussion. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
We didn't do Knicks yesterday, not because we were ignoring them, but just because we got caught up with the Bo Nickel in studio that we had Jay Leno on. It's been a wild show. Actually, we have Marlon Wayans coming on today, so we'll have that as well. Stay tuned for that. A fun segment with him ahead of his comedy show that he's promoting. We've been doing a lot of fun stuff here on the BT and Sal show. Sydney Sweeney, all that. She's in the news again. The movie flopped. Apparently, it didn't work.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Big flop. But I'm not saying the movie was bad. I'm saying that the box office presence was nowhere to be found.
There's a big issue going on there too.
What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know she got called out by now. Who's Ruby?
Ruby Rose. She's an actress. She was in, I believe, Orange Is the New Black. She did a bunch of different TV
but anyway,
shows.
She's an actress, Ruby yes. Rose,
and she's very upset because she felt like that was her role and that Sydney Sweeney stole it from her.
So she ripped
she stole
her.
It.
Yeah, so she ripped Sydney Sweeney.
Okay,
saying that she ruined the legacy and ruined what could have been a great movie. And then Chrissy? Who's the boxer?
Chrissy,
no T? You got to get clarity Chrissy. On it. Is it Kafka or Kafka?
It's Kafka.
It's Kafka.
I think it's Kafka.
Oh, no, it's Kafka. Mike Kafka.
You sure?
I thought it was Kafka, and then I heard Gio stumbling all over himself this morning. Kafka. He was saying Kafka.
Chrissy.
It is Chrissy. I told you.
I said it.
Christy. But yeah, then Gio said he got a text from somebody with the Giants. It's Kafka.
Chrissy Canyon?
Wait, what was her name again?
Chrissy Canyon is a whole different... ever. A whole different thing. Christy Martin.
With a K. Martin. Okay, so anyway, Christy Martin, they came out and supported Sydney Sweeney. Point is, we had Sydney Sweeney on the show.
We did. We're bouncing around here, man.
I know. It's been.
But wait,
been
I got a question. Yeah. Were the reviews of the movie unkind or the amount of people that went to see it in terms of what the like the revenue generated?
It's kind of like The Rock with the Smash Machine, which I said was going to be it's going to win him awards.
Oh, my God. Hoff, before that movie came out.
He's going to
win awards. Oh, we got to get The Rock. He's going to win awards for this. I'm like, yeah, of course we'll take The Rock. He's going to win an award. The Rock is going to win an award.
Yes, he is.
Moana Man is going to win an award.
He is, I guarantee it. But the box office is different.
Moana Man.
Dude, what hits the box office these days? What makes a ton of money these days? Like the third or
What were the first movies that the Rock was in? The zombie movies? What were they called?
Fast and Furious. I remember him in like a tutu. Like his daughter, like a divorce, and he was like a single dad
or
something.
That was one.
Dentist.
No, he was
a hockey player. Remember that?
Come on, Hoff. You like these action movies. He was some kind of like, I forget what the hell it was called. But I'm pretty sure that was the beginning.
He was in Black Adam.
No.
That's like a Marvel movie.
Go back to one of the... I thought it was like some kind of...
Jumanji.
Jumanji. Oh, the replay with... Because Robin Williams was in the original
Rampage. Oh, he was in the remake of Baywatch.
No.
The Mummy Returns.
Yes, The Mummy. There you go. I said zombie. The Mummy. The Mummy movie. That was like a big one years ago.
Two different things. Zombies and mummies, two different things.
But to answer your question, I believe it was a flop at the box office, but the reviews were okay. At least that's what Bogus was telling me that in the newsroom.
Okay.
Saying, hey, Sydney Sweeney apparently didn't help coming on your show. I was like, what happened? And then he said, nobody went to see the movie.
Well, it helped our show. I don't care about the movie. That's fine, dude. Helped us.
I mean, I didn't even know about the movie until she came on with us. So maybe that's part of the problem. But is the movie getting good reviews is the question.
Yes, I believe so. Okay, by the way, her story is outrageous.
Yep.
When I was out sick while BT was missing...
Christy's story, you're saying?
Yes. Yes, the story itself is outrageous. Right. So while I was out sick and BT was getting texts from A-Rod not telling people about it, I watched the Christy documentary on Netflix... And it is unbelievable.
Oh, I didn't know there was a doc on Netflix on that.
It's one of those untold stories. And one of my buddies told me about it after watching or hearing Sydney Sweeney on with us. He watched the documentary. He said it's amazing. So the movie is amazing.
Side note, speaking of documentaries, I watched last night after the Knicks. And the whole point was that we had guests on, so the last hour or so got away from us a little bit. We didn't get to the Knicks. We'll get to the Knicks later on today. I watched the Eddie Murphy doc.
My wife was watching that a little bit while she was folding the clothes there. Is it good?
It's just, I'm only like 25 minutes in. I started to doze off a little bit, so I'll pick it up today. But is there anybody walking in the face of this earth that is funnier than Eddie Murphy? Oh, come on, man.
Maybe Chappelle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a short list.
I would still go Eddie Murphy. Again, Chappelle influenced by Eddie Murphy.
Yep,
Eddie,
everybody was.
I mean,
now, but who was Eddie influenced by Richard Pryor?
Yes,
he had to be,
and that was the thing that got me last night. No, I've seen his specials before, Eddie Murphy, all
Raw.
That stuff.
Too.
Oh my God,
love that. He's
of course, I want to go back and watch them again. But his impression of Richard Pryor is second to none as far as impressions go. Period. It's just so good. The build up to it, and then he executes it. My God, Eddie Murphy. Hey, so we get Jay Leno on, we get Sydney Sweeney. Can we get Eddie Murphy on? Hoff will be on that next. Yeah. If we get Eddie Murphy,
he was a swordsman. He was Eddie Murphy. Oh, he crushed it. You know what I mean. Leave it at that.
I
crushed it.
Well, meaning like a ladies' man?
Yeah.
Talking about?
Oh yeah.
The size of the material.
Well, that I don't know about.
Well, I think that's what swordsman refers to.
Your strategies are very on point, I would say. So I think it can go both ways.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah,
I always interpreted swordsman as being you're carrying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's probably more so than not, but right. Eddie Murphy was all over Hollywood. A lot of carnage.
BT and Sal. Let's get back to the sports talk, 888, before there's more carnage here. 888-808-1019. We're talking Yankees.
Oh, yeah,
it's a sports talk show. John is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, bud.
BT, you hit it on the head. We got to make some great trades.
Yeah.
And a person that I think they should dangle is Rodon. And then go after Kubel. Okay? And the reason why, Rodon's coming off a great year. Okay, his contract is high. We could use that money for Spruble. And when it comes down to it, Giants might take him back. The Giants might want him, you know? So,
That's interesting.
You solve your pitching problem, and you get younger, and then you go after Quam and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And do what we got to do. I mean, free agency, I don't want Diaz. I don't want Diaz.
No, neither do I. The Yanks, I don't even think they make a move for Diaz. No. They got Bednar.
You could either make... what they got now with the guy from the Pirates, or you could try to take one of their rookies and try to make them a closer.
I don't know if
They did that with Mariano Rivera. They did that with Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, true. But they had Wetland before that. And then, obviously, Mo came in. It was a little bit of a different setup. Thank you for the call there, John. So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, of all the things that could come up, maybe trading Rodon. Now, I like Rodon more than you. Obviously, realizing he's just, you know, you can't fully trust the guy. But in terms of, you know, a body of work, 30 starts and beating bad teams and giving his team a chance to win, Rodon's been good, especially last year. He's making 27, 27, and 27. 3 years to go. I mean, you think somebody would bite on Rodon? I mean, if you sweeten it up with maybe a young player? I mean, if you hit the trade market?
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah,
maybe.
Instead of paying a pitcher big-time money, I think somebody would buy. I would not, but maybe. I think there could be value there. I don't mind the idea. I think it's things like that that both the Mets and Yankees need to do. Trade Rodon, get yourself out from under that salary, whatever you get back for it, whatever, and then maybe go make a run at school. Well, yeah, I mean, those are, I don't think that that's realistic, but that's something that they should be thinking of doing.
You know what they really haven't, outside of the Soto trade, they haven't really been very creative in their trades. You think about their moves, and we all know the players on the team. Like, Grisham was a throw-in. Obviously, Soto was great for a year, then he bounced. You know, a lot of the young kids, we know about that. Stanton, of course, you know, you got Jeter, did that, and it is what it is. But, like, when was the last, you signed Rodon, you signed Fried in terms of big free agent money. What was the, and Bednar was good, but what was the last time they made like an offseason? Am I missing somebody like a positional value where we're like, wow, what a very forward thinking.
You talking about offseason?
Yeah, I'm thinking more offseason. Jazz was in season clearly, but a real forward thinking, you know, like we're like, wow, that kind of changes who the Yankees are for the next couple of years. It's been a while, is what I'm saying.
And this is the offseason to do it with Kwan. By the way, you were correct. I was wrong on the Swordsman definition.
Mm.
A man who is skillful or enthusiastic. Anyway, a man who is a skillful or enthusiastic practitioner of sexual intercourse.
Mm.
So I am not a swordsman in any aspect of that definition. I don't know where I got it from. Thinking that, you know.
He's a swordsman.
I just thought maybe like, you know,
Listen, if you're in a duel, you want to have the biggest sword. I'd rather have the big blade.
Maybe that's where I got it from. Sword fight?
Yeah.
You've heard of that before.
Of course.
So maybe then I just took that meaning and in my mind over the years thought that's what a swordsman was. Like, oh, wow, he's...
I could see that. Now, think about this. If you're in
Boomer is a swordsman.
Is he?
I heard that, no?
Oh, you did? I heard Francesa was.
I heard that as well.
Wasn't Glazer next to Mike in the urinal?
Jay Glazer was that.
Just like Milton Berle.
Yeah, now that would be my definition of it.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But I don't know about the other stuff.
I don't know, but I mean, if I'm in a duel, like medieval times duel... Yeah. I mean, I could have a massive sword in terms of fighting, not to be overly risky here, like actually fighting.
Mm.
And the guy that I'm going against has a smaller sword, but he's just more adept at leverage and he's quicker. So that's why I never made the association. It's about size necessarily,
also,
the sword.
It's also a weird word to say.
No, it's not. It's sword. We went through this before. It's not
you
sword.
And I? Yep. You might,
it,
you
it came up. It came up. It's not sword. S-O-R-D. It's sword.
I know how you spell it.
I know you do, but you got to say it the right way. It's sword.
Like He-Man had a sword.
No, he had a sword. It's a sword, dude. The W
Lionel
is not silent.
From Thundercat, he had a sword. Sword.
Nah, I always say
You're
sword.
You're saying sword.
I've always said that. So I'm going to stick with that.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we get back. Sports talk here on the Midday Show, 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Jets coming up at 11. Yankee calls, baseball, free agency as well. Sports talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
By the way, before we get back to the calls, you were incorrect. It has been confirmed it soared.
Well, in the United States, that's the general usage. But when you cross the pond and you get to other parts
Where are we here? Dove came in during the break break it to you.
Yeah, I know.
And goes, it's one more time, Dove?
Soared.
And BT goes, yeah, but in Europe or across the ocean, we're in the U.S.
I know we are. That's my way of saying, maybe I was a little bit off on it.
Let me ask you a question. We go to outer space. Is it sword or sword?
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference?
I've always said, I'm going to keep saying sword, by the way. I don't know why.
You go ahead and do that.
You're not the only one that I've heard say it.
Definitely not. Well, because, listen, there's a lot of ancestors, a lot of heritage from Europe, and it's been passed down. So there's still some people stateside whose, you know, great-great-great-great-grandparents in Europe were saying sword.
How does your father say it?
I don't think I've ever heard him say the word sword.
I can guarantee he says sword.
You're right. He definitely, he would say sword, true. And I'm sure my mom would as well. But, I don't know why I'm churching it up. Like, I always just said sword.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want to be the intellectual?
No, I don't want to be. Well, I want to be what?
He says sword often.
Yeah.
I know it's come up before.
I don't remember that. I'm not saying, you want to be the...
the intellect?
Yes, exactly.
Well, if anything, I sound like a complete opposite. I sound like a bozo right now saying a one-syllable word wrong.
That's what makes
what an intellect.
That's what makes it funny. Liam is calling from Yorktown. What's up, Liam?
I actually called about the sword thing. Hmm. You know, I only called because, I studied a little dialect and speech at NYU. So I called my professor, asked him up real quick. You know, I'm not calling to make fun of you, but people are going to think you're in like a Shakespeare play or something if you go around saying sword.
Yes, Steve.
Well, listen, I read, Macbeth and Othello and some other things in high school.
Those?
I had to. I didn't
Come
want
on,
to.
Man.
They stuffed it down my throat at Xavier. Yeah. Trust me. I read it kicking and screaming. And maybe that's the origin of my pronunciation. You know, just because I was introduced to some high-quality literature early, I shouldn't be penalized for it.
Okay, so the first thing I think of when I hear somebody reference Shakespeare or all that stuff, I think of Billy Madison and Adam Sandler end.
Yeah.
When
he's trying to pass it.
Yeah, the academic Olympic there. Yeah. To die, to sleep, no more. That's what I think of the Sandman doing it, not Macbeth and swords.
I couldn't stand that stuff.
All right, back to the Yankee stuff. Sam is calling from Rockland. What's up, Sam?
Sammy boy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, about the Yankees trade, is there any chance they try to package Jazz Chisholm, maybe Jones or Dominguez, and maybe Heal or Warren for Ketel Marte?
For Marte? That strikes me as a lot.
That's when you get your Lito fitter.
No, I know. Marte's a stud. I think that's a little bit much for Marte, who's in his 30s already. Listen, here's what I will tell you about Jazz, and I got this directly from the Yankees. Don't expect them resigning him.
Well, and you saw it yesterday with Cashman saying that they didn't have any talks yet about extending him.
And I don't think that they will. Unless he wants to stay for 70 cents on the dollar, they are not going to commit long-term to Jazz, and they shouldn't.
Ketel Marte is
32, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to. So he'll be this is his 32 season.
Yep.
He's a career 281 hitter.
It's nice.
Yeah, you take that. He's got 28 homers, 72 ribbies.
It's the OPS. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Low eights?
893 last year.
Oh, high eights. Wow.
932 the year before. Oof. 844 the year before. I mean, he's a good player.
Very good. Doesn't strike out a ton. Well,
so then there you go. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. We have not. I know who he is. Obviously, I know he's good. Sure. I don't watch him all the time.
Yeah, I see him against the Mets. That's pretty much it.
Is he going to fit in and just be the leadoff hitter in this lineup? I mean, that's something I would look through. His contract status, he signed through 2030, 6 years, $105 million. Man, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him because he's a good player who's cheap.
Yeah.
Could you play him at short? I know he's primarily at second. I'm trying to think of the last time he played short here.
Boy, I know we're juggling a few things here. He is locked up more than I thought. The number goes from 15 this year and then oddly down to 12 next year and then back up to the 20. So
he can't play short.
Strange. He's not a shortstop, no. Yeah. You know, think about what the first package was. It was Jazz. It was Heel. It was Will Warren, who I like a lot. I think Will Warren's got a chance to be very good. And in terms of strikeouts, he stacked up very well against rookies in a lot of categories. And I think he even said Dominguez or Jones. Don't you think that's a lot?
Yes, I do.
It's a lot.
Well, but he is under control for a while. I don't think you'd have to give up all of that. You're going to have to give up something to get him, though. It's going to be a package that's not going to make you feel good. You're going to have to give up a little. Now, I would rather go all in and give up that package for either a top-end starter, which the Yankees don't need, or Kwan. I'd rather put the emphasis on getting Kwan. I just think he fits perfectly.
He does.
I wanted him last year. He's an excellent contact hitter, perfect leadoff hitter, and you put him in left field, you get gold glove defense. You're not getting that with Marte. So you'd have to figure out where to put him. He's a second baseman. Then what do you do with Jazz? You going to put Jazz back to third again?
Could you put Jazz in the outfield if you lost somebody? I mean, he played some center.
I know, but again, now we're moving pieces around.
I know.
I wouldn't. I don't think you could have Jazz and Marte. And I don't think that the Diamondbacks. Why would the Diamondbacks want Jazz?
Yeah, unless they want to shed some salary.
2 years this year and next, Jazz?
Jazz might be up after this year. And if not, it certainly doesn't go past next year.
Right.
There's no way it's beyond 2027.
I would think if the Diamondbacks are going to move him, which they said that they'd be open to doing, which is why this leads to the conversation, it's going to take a haul to get him. I'm not sure exactly all of that. Go ahead, Hoff. You had something here?
Yeah, I do, because there is an issue with Ketel Marte.
What?
Takes too many days off.
Why, is that a thing?
That was a thing. That they came in August where he was taking too many days off. And he's like, I can't control. I always want to play and support the team, but I can't control when they give me days off. Some nonsense like that. So there was issues last season with his days off. Maybe he's not so much of a team player.
Wait, that they were giving him days off or he was asking for days off? There's a big difference.
Well, the reports were, the media was coming out saying that he was asking for days off or he was taking too many days off. They were giving him a lot of days off.
Even if it was the Arizona Diamondbacks saying, we're going to give you time off, talk your way in the lineup.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, he doesn't, you know, in the last 4 years, 137 games, that's good. Then 150, then 136, then 126. Yeah, you know, I don't love you missing 30-ish games when you're in your late 20s, early 30s. That seems a little bit much for me.
Give me Kwan. I mean, I if you're going to make a trade like that, you're not going to be able to do both. Why wouldn't you just go all in on Kwan? He's the guy. You get him, and then you lock him up long-term when you have to. Kwan is 28. He is an elite defensive player, 4-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time All-Star. He's a plug-and-play leadoff hitter. You put him in leadoff. You finally have a guy you don't have to worry about moving around. He's a left fielder, a Gold Glove left fielder, and you have him in the leadoff spot. That's it. Pencil him in every day. When was the last time the Yankees had a real leadoff hitter?
Was it Nobby? I mean, was it Jeter
Good
at the
God.
End? I mean, think about the revolving door. I'm going to geek out for a sec just to back this up because you're right. So his feel, I'm on Savant right now.
Jazz, by the way, under control for just this season.
Okay, so it is one. Okay, thank you. So his fielding range, outs above replacement, 90 percentile.
This is
Stephen Kwan.
Yeah.
Arm value, 100 percentile. And then sprint speed, right around the 50-ish. But he is an elite left. And we already knew that, but I just wanted to give you the numbers to back that up. He is a stud on defense. And he's a leadoff man.
In 625 at-bats, he struck out 60 times.
That's incredible.
Yes! Yeah, it's the perfect fit!
That's low.
It's exactly what the Yankees need.
Well, you were saying that last year.
Yes, career 281 hitter. All right, on base 351, OPS 741. That's fine, but he's Oh my God, in a postseason spot, put the bat on the ball,
yep.
Get on in front of the big guys, and by the way, play an elite level gold glove left field. He could steal 20 bases, he could hit with a little bit of pop, maybe in Yankee Stadium, he hits 15 homers, he's had 14 and then 11 the last couple of years. You won't even worry about that. You worry about the batting average. Hit 280, get on base, play gold glove level defense, he's the perfect fit, well, and not strike out.
Yeah, no, that's very appealing to me, putting a bat on the ball. I mean, think about how many, I really can't quantify this, but it's something to think about. Outside of Jose Ramirez, who was a beast, I mean, they don't really have a ton of offensive weapons around him. So if he's batting first, and you've got Judge coming up, and you've got Bellinger coming up, and you've got Ben Rice coming up, he's getting pitches to hit.
And that's exactly the lineup that I would go. Now, who knows what Booney and the analytics and the, you know.
They pushed back on that again yesterday.
The D.O.N., the Yankee Department of Nerds, what they're going to have in there.
Did you see that? They pushed back again on that.
Cashman, I saw. Well,
Boone's been doing it for a while, and Cashman joined the party yesterday.
Boone did it again when he was on with John Boy.
I heard that. I actually saw that.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
They're on a mission to dispel that.
Then dispel it, and here's how you do it. You leave the lineup alone. Common sense. I could tell you, Kwan, Judge, Bellinger. Boom, done. And you obviously have a righty there. Now, if they keep Stanton, maybe he would back up Bellinger in that order. I'm not sure exactly beyond that. But for the top of the order, find me a better trio and balance with Kwan and what he brings, mm-hmm. Judge behind him, and Bellinger behind him.
I mean, that's terrific. And by the way, about the analytics here, just win. I mean, if you win a championship, Nobody's going to dive into that. When you don't win, and as long as when you're the Yankees, and you haven't won since 2009, people look for reasons and context as to why. So whether the analytics has been hijacked or overstated, it almost doesn't. But whatever they're doing hasn't been enough.
Right.
Do more.
Right. You don't have to explain to us what you're doing, what you're not doing. We don't care.
Do something different.
We care about the results. John is calling from Huntington. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Big fans. I want to talk about the Yankees. You touched on the big moves. But I had some smaller moves that I think could round out the roster and really make the team strong. So, Obviously, Bellinger and Kwan, we've discussed. I would bring back Rosario because the Yankees are very lefty-handed, and they got a lot of holes, and I think they need to create competition and platoons. I'd also like Haesung Kim. He's a contact guy. He's 2 years removed from a great season. He won the Super Utility Gold Glove. He's got a lot of flexibility. And then you trust Cashman to build the bullpen, and then two other things. I would start, not for long-term this season, but just start getting Judge some reps at first base. And then if you really want to make a splash signing, I'd bring back Michael King. I just want to see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty good suggestions. I don't know that they would do all of them. Listen, the one thing, I'm fine with Rosario coming back here, Rosario, in limited spot. Like, one of the things the Yankees got away from, think about when they were winning all the championships. Now, a lot of it was because they had the high-level talent, and they were just bludgeoning people. But you always had somebody coming off the bench, whether it was Chili Davis or Ruben Sierra. They had established veterans, right, Sal? You look at, now, last year, they finally said, all right, we got to do this a little differently and have some better options off the bench. And Rosario was one of them. But before they kind of pivoted and changed direction on that last year, their bench pieces were absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, I'm
for
okay.
years.
But I like the idea of it's not just, oh, we'll go get this big name and go get that big name. No, try to build a team.
Yep.
Contact players, guys that can run, guys that can defend. Now, as far as Michael King, I understand the appeal, especially from the Yankees, because he was your own and you had to trade him and now he's available. I don't trust King's ability to stay healthy. And I also and I know he's been very good. I would not invest in him. He comes up all the time when we talk about him on Baseball Night New York with the Mets in their rotation.
Yep.
If I'm investing in a starting pitcher, Michael King would not be the one for me.
Yeah, he's a tough one. He, to me, is almost like a guy that you roll the dice on if you're a mid-market and you're trying to maybe find an ace for a little bit of a cheaper amount, or you're a big market and you don't need him to be an ace, which the Yankees wouldn't.
Correct. So, different story with the Yankees.
Yeah.
There's history there. Obviously, they know him as well as anybody, and they don't need him to be a reliable top guy.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I don't know what he's going to get, but he's going to get paid. He's a starting pitcher with good potential. I just would not take that. If the Mets had two pitchers to sign or two pitchers to acquire this offseason, Michael King, to me, would not be one of them.
Yeah, I could see why you would be reluctant from the Mets' point of view. Now, you throw him, say, in Boston behind a Crochet or something like that, or one of these teams. Of course, I'd take him back on the Yankees, but he just hasn't pitched much, which is why he's very intriguing. I mean, the innings limit is a thing. So in 2023, he threw 104 innings, and then in 2024, he had a big year, as we know, to over 200 strikeouts, 170 innings. Last year, 73.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not enough work.
He's had one good year.
He's had one full season.
Yeah. And he was good at the Yankees bullpen.
Oh, for sure.
But
his stuff is really good.
Understood. I'm not paying him big money off of that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. We'll continue with the calls on the baseball stuff. Also working the Jets. Big game tonight, Thursday Night Football. Jets and Patriots.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.